Let us turn again to Psalm 102 and consider again verse 17, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Psalm 102 and at verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And we are following on here from Sabbath evening, when we tried to enlarge on three particular points. The first of these was the destitute. And though I didn't mention it then, the destitute are those, that's what the word suggests in Hebrew, that the psalmist is speaking about those who, as it were, have been stripped of everything they possess. And that is the idea that we carry over into spiritual things, that they have been stripped of all their self-righteousness and of everything they might present before God, and even to themselves, as suggesting that they have something on which they can rely for eternity, something that they can bring before God as evidence that they desire whatever they are asking from. And when that is taken away from sinners, what a blessing that is. When they are not going to look to themselves for a blessing, but they will be drawn away to look to Christ, the one whom God has provided as the Saviour of sinners. The one whom God has provided. And you see, when a sinner is brought to recognize spiritually that they have nothing of themselves, and they're going to be delivered from looking to themselves and be brought to trust in Christ, to submit to Christ as the one whom God has provided as the Saviour of sinners. Then, secondly, we try to consider why their prayer is heard, why God answers their prayer, and that is because of Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, the one whom the Father provided to be the Savior, to be the substitute for sinners, to take their place, to come under the punishment that sin deserves. And in particular, we took into account what is said in 1 Timothy 2, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that's to be considered as gave himself a ransom. He paid the price to set sinners free, but a ransom for all kinds of sinners. And that's not misusing the word. There's that statement, I think, in Matthew about everyone in Judea going to hear the Savior, or I think it's the Savior rather than John the Baptist. But my point is, the all, very often in Scripture, is equivalent to all kinds of sinners. Christ did not die for everyone, But he died for sinners of every kind. And that should encourage us. People may be too apt to say, when they're getting a sight of their sins, I am such a sinner. I have gone so far. I've gone on so long in unbelief. But you see, Christ died for all kinds of sinners. Sinners who became hardened by their unbelief and by the rejection of Christ over a long period of time. But he died for sinners of that kind. That kind, therefore, sinner, whoever you are, whatever you have been, however long you have gone on in rejecting Christ, come to him. That kind of, he died for that kind of sinner, as well as every other kind. And then, finally, we started looking at this, the encouragement there is to pray. Whatever is the reason for coming before God in prayer, he will regard the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their prayer. He will not reject it out of hand. He will not say this sinner does not deserve to be heard. Of course not. But he died for sinners who do not deserve to be heard. He died for the destitute. He died for those who have no reason in themselves to come before God in prayer. They cannot bring anything in their hands. They are rather discouraged from bringing anything by way of saying and thinking, I deserve this. You see, what I'm thinking of just now is Isaiah 55, where it is pointed out that salvation is without money and without price. It is given freely. You go to the shops, you want bread or milk or whatever it might be, and you bring money. And there's an exchange done. You pay your money, and you are given the goods you want. There's an exchange. Well, all that we can present to God is our nakedness, our need, our unchecked condition before God. Whatever it is we're praying for, we have to say, I can't pay for this. I must have it free. Yes, whether we're praying for ourselves or our family or friends or praying for the church of God, the thing is the same. We might be tempted to come in prayer before God and say, there's people in the congregation who are very godly. Surely I can be heard for their sake and their prayers. No, it's freely. It's all for the sake of Christ, you see. Let's just think what we are about when we conclude our prayer with such words as these, for Christ's sake, not mine, not anybody else's, not what any of us deserve. Now, what we're about just now is to say something more about the encouragement that there is to pray. However destitute we might be, however destitute the Church of God might be, you see, there's much wrong with the Church of God. It might be a particular part of the Church of God, but there's so much wrong with the people who make it up. Where do we go? Back to this, you see. For Christ's sake. Back to that. Whatever we might say and however long a person might go on before he comes to this, for Christ's sake. You see, there's an attempt there to put the whole of the petitions that have been offered up on this basis, what Christ has done. It's for his sake, prayer is answered. It's because of what he did in coming into the world to give himself a ransom for many. Now, we might just mention what I did mention on Sabbath evening, that promise the Lord has given, and it's a very precious promise. When the poor and the needy, the destitute ones, when the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and they take and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. However destitute they are, that's not the point in prayer. Christ is not destitute. Christ has infinite treasures laid up in heaven on behalf of sinners. Christ has infinite treasures laid up in heaven. And when we say, for Christ's sake, we mean this, for Christ's sake and for the sake of the, and because of the treasures that he has laid up in heaven. The treasures that he is distributing as he presents his own merits, as he makes intercession on behalf of those who pray. As he makes intercession for the destitute. He doesn't despise their prayer. The Father doesn't despise their prayer. The Holy Spirit doesn't despise their prayer, as he is the spirit of prayer, the spirit that in his working in the soul of the destitute, he gives them petitions. He gives them some spiritual strength as they come before God with their prayers. What was going on in the mind of the publican when he was looking at the sacrifice being offered, seeing the smoke at least arising from it? He was thinking, well, can we not believe that? He was thinking of the intercession and the intercession of the one that was to come. The intercession of the seed of the woman who was to bruise the head of the serpent. The one who deceived her first parent. The one who brought them down. The one who through them brought us down. And everyone that will come into the world. We have been brought down. Yes. But you see, what he is saying, that I, the Lord, will hear them. For the sake of Christ, you see. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. For the sake of Christ. And we might think of that particular situation. John had been put to death by Herod. Peter had been imprisoned and he was to be the next. And the people of God in the church might well have concluded, he'll go through all the apostles and they'll all be taken away from us. And who knows where he'll stop. And prayer was made unto God for Peter. And he was heard. He sent an angel. Now, whatever circumstances we might be thinking of, and someone, say in China today, imprisoned for Christ's sake, and if it's the will of the Lord to deliver that persecuted one, in response to the prayers of the church in that area, let us say, It's not going to be an angel that will come and open the doors, and, put all the guards to sleep and so on, and set him free. But the Lord has his own way of working today. There must be some most unusual providence that will let that persecuted person free. A door might be, or a series of doors might be left unlocked. The guards might indeed go to sleep. And the Lord puts it into the mind of the one that is in prison just to go out and see what he can find. And he gets away. Now that's only said by way of example. There's so many ways that God will work in providence to bring things about. But my point is, the prayer of the destitute. And you might say that it's potentially destitute. The Church of God in that time was to be potentially. But the Lord delivered Peter in answer to prayer. The Lord didn't allow anyone else at that time to be imprisoned. They were preserved. Well, whatever it is, or the weakness of the church today, and I mustn't spend too much time on it. You can extend the ideas yourself, because I want to make a number of other points. We'll see how far we'll get. But you see, the main point just now is the prayer of the Church of God, the prayers within the Church of God, and the prayers were heard. And we should turn our mind to the weakness of the Church of God today, the fewness of the real ambassadors. Whatever might be taking place in other professed churches. See, it's an illustration of the weakness of the Church of England today when a woman is to become the next Archbishop of Canterbury. She's clearly not, whatever you might say about anybody else, whether you can put the clearly in or not. But you can say of her that she's clearly not called to be a minister. She's going to make safeguarding her first priority. Now, there's greater priorities, however important safeguarding is. Keeping, making it difficult for people to abuse children. Say. That's important. But there's something else. Safeguarding people from going down to destruction by preaching the gospel. Is there any great consideration of that? Well, it's something to pray about. It's something for the rest of the church and unconverted people in the Church of England, to pray about the whole professing Church of Christ. Yes, and the weak condition it's in, the extent to which there's false religion and so on. And God hears prayer. And however little fruit there might be, if that's the right expression, from the prayers of God's people, and God's people are praying, more or less. But are they being heard? Well, there's a question. Natalie Mackenzie was pointing out how much prayer was being laid up for the future. Prayers that God was not answering at the time. But you see, there were prayers in God's bottle. And he will answer them in his own time. But My basic point just now is this, the encouragement that is from the answer that was to the prayers for Peter, and he was delivered miraculously. And many a miracle we can expect today, not of the same kind, but it's a miracle in a sense whenever anyone is converted, brought through the work of the Holy Spirit into the Church of God. I mean, the Church of God spiritually. That's what we should be asking for. And if the Lord would return, then he would show that very much through the prayers of God's people. Yes. But to think for a moment or two about individuals in a difficult situation, and they pray. We have the example of David in Psalm 34. We sang a bit of it on Sabbath evening. And he, again just now. David was in a very difficult situation in the land of the Philistines. Of course, he shouldn't have been there. But the fact that David went wrong doesn't mean that the Lord wouldn't answer his prayer. The Lord did answer his prayer, you see. To quote from what he says in the Psalm, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now you can apply that in a thousand ways, say. The Lord delivered me from my fears, delivered me from my situation. Yes. Even although David was wrong in going to the land of the Philistines. Take that into account. And yet, you see, he couldn't do anything but rely on God. And how good it was that that's what he did by God's grace. Perhaps what we most need in such situations is to acknowledge the fact of how able God is to give deliverance. And let me apply it in this way. How able God is to deliver you from the spiritual situation you feel you are in today. If you are thinking that you have no grace, God is able to deliver you from that situation. You may be wrong. You may have grace. But go to him anyway. And ask him to do for you what he would do if you were still in a state of nature. To open your eyes, even if it's a matter of opening your eyes again, to see Christ as the Saviour of all kinds of sinners. Yes. And then we might come to this. In this psalm, Psalm 102 at verse 12, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. He may not be able for the time to save, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. It's only by a revelation. And clearly, the psalmist here got such a revelation that he could speak in these terms. The time to favour her is come. But you can say that you know from the word of God that there is a time when Zion would be favored and Zion will be built up. But take encouragement from this, particularly the first part of the verse. God's revelation that he will arise and have mercy upon Zion, upon his church. Take encouragement from that to pray. However destitute you might be of hope, and however afraid you might be that your prayers are in vain, he delivered me from all my fears. Ask for that. Ask that you may be made content with God's ways of work, and content with the time, whenever it will be, when the Lord will arise and have mercy on Zion. Yes, we might think of Jehoshaphat praying when Moab and Ammon and other tribes had come against him, and he was with other kings. But he was saying, we have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. By faith, the eyes of Jehoshaphat's soul were looking up to the great God of eternity, who would never forsake. That's it. And he didn't. He brought him back safely home. He worked a miracle, of course. And we're not to be looking for miracles. Yet we can be looking for wonderful works of God in providence. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That is an application, first of all, to spiritual things. But you see, the all-powerful God is a work of providence. And the particular aim of God in providence is to bring his people safely home to eternal glory. The aim of God is to bring his people, in his providence, safely home to eternal glory. And however impossible these things might be, he will work for their good, especially for their spiritual good. He will work in such a way that he will bring them safely home to eternal glory. Nothing is too hard for him. Yes. And again, the Spirit of the Lord, in similar circumstances, it would be the same circumstances, in answer to Jehoshaphat's cry, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, a prophet, and he told Jehoshaphat, be not afraid, not dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And if you look at the whole history of the Church of God, it's a series of battles against Satan and those who are doing Satan's work. And that includes all that vast number of evil angels. The battle is God's. There's no limit to his power. He can chain them up, as he has promised to chain Satan. And no doubt that implies all his supporters. All that do is work with him. The battle is God's. We might have to take our place in fighting against principalities and powers. In dependence on God's grace, by prayer, through the preaching of the gospel, seeking to get good for our souls. Yes. Yes, but the battle is not ours. But as we have come to this last day of 2025, let us take encouragement for a time when the outlook is frightening, perhaps. Except that it shouldn't be frightening if we are looking to the Lord. But that's where things are pointing. And so, we are to take courage. We are to betake ourselves to prayer. We are to be asking for the Lord to work powerfully, as he is able to do. Nothing is too hard for him. To send out laborers into his harvest, to bring sinners into the kingdom, to bless the word of the truth of the gospel, and to bless the call of the gospel, including this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless his word to us.